Good afternoon. This is the last day and Sunday of 2017. It's been quite a year, don't you think? I actually got up this morning and checked out all the highlights of 2017. Do you even remember what happened this year? So many things happened. Not in your personal life, apart from your personal life and this church. You know, there were three major hurricanes, historic hurricanes, in one year. 150 miles per hour wind, Category 5, starting in August. Irma, Harvey, and Maria, right? And then there was a major fire in California. I don't know whether you pay attention. The size of the fire is the entire city of New York and Boston combined and burned. Could you picture that? Sort of like Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Entire city of New York and Boston was burned. It's incredible if you think about it, right? And there were five, just New York and London alone, there was a five terrorist attacks. I don't know whether you remember this. London Bridge, Manchester, and then there was another one in London and twice in New York in one year. What a crazy year if you think about it, right? And then there was a ballistic missile shot at least 3-4 times this year from North Korea, which could reach, they say in the beginning, Alaska, now New York, or anywhere in the world, basically, anywhere in the world. This happened all in 2017. I was just thinking, we could move on to the new year without thinking about anything. But wouldn't it be great if you sort things out before you move into a new year and have a new beginning? Okay? That's what we plan to do tonight when we have a worship service at 10 o'clock at night. I ask you to just look at your life and my life too, right? Because life is all about relationship. And there are three types of relationships. One is with a living God, and second is with yourself, and then third is with others. Okay? How are those relationships with you? Just want to ask you, is this working? Or is this working to yourself? Do you feel in the rightful place about yourself? Or do you feel too arrogant, too highly of yourself? Which is what I tend to do, okay? Or do you feel so low about yourself, feeling like worthless person? Isn't that the story? Isn't that the story, right? But most importantly, how are other relationships, okay? With your family, with your spouse, do you have a relationship with your family? One of the things that we ask is that, do you eat with your family? I know it's stepping on people's toe. I understand it. But how do we live and love and Christian life when all of these is broken? What does that mean that we are Christians? And all of these three different types of relationships are all broken. What does that mean? Christianity is about loving. I don't know whether you knew. Love God and love others, right? Today, the title of the message is, Do Not Love the World, okay? It's a negative way of saying, I was meditating this morning, negative way of saying God speaking to you is, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. You marry someone, right? And then you have 3, possibly 3.5 other mistresses. Is that going to work? Right? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Okay? So, I just want to invite you and ask you to think about these things because you don't want to just move into the new year in a mess, right? Do you? Do you want to do that? Why would you want to do that? You could come to the Lord and settle the account. Things that you need to repent and change. Things that you need to go forward. right? That's what we want to do, and I really strongly encourage you to do that. Okay, if you need to make your relationship right with your spouse, I think you should do it today, right? Rather than just kind of like brushing it off and just kind of sit on it, right? So let me begin. Oh, this is one of the things that happened this year, 2017, eclipse, complete eclipse, right? Crazy year, 2017. I cannot help but to see divine hand of God upon this country, calling his people to come back. I don't know whether you sense it. Starting from raising Mr. Trump, and throughout the year, it's never been a quiet year, quiet day. Every single week there was something. Fire, terrorism, massacre, hurricane. You think that's okay? You know, it's amazing because we kind of turn it off and we don't even think about any of these things. But it's the nudging of the living God who is in control of nature and history. And he's being patient with us and asking us to come back. And the last message of this year, 2017, is do not love the world. Okay? So here's the passage that May read. I'm just going to read it one more time. 1 John chapter 2, 15, 16, 17. Apostle John is known as the apostle of love, right? And he's the one apostle who was one of the younger disciples of Jesus, of the 12, and had a very close relationship and a favor from the Lord. Remember that? He's the one who actually, when Judas Iscariot was asking, who's the one? Who's going to be the one who's going to be betraying you? And John, little young boy, I would imagine he was like 17, 18. He kind of leaned on Jesus' bosom, okay, and then kind of like, lean on Jesus. And my imagination is, when he did that, you could try it, maybe he heard actual heartbeat of Jesus. The love of Jesus. And that's the Apostle John, right? The love of God, love of God. And he says, after he talks about the love of God, he says, do not love the world, for the things in the world. And then he gives a clear reason, because if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Okay? Bible usually, I mean, all the time, I should say, Jesus and our Bible is very clear. Okay? You love the world, or you love God. It's one or the other. I know we could have temptations, but what's clear teaching of the scripture is there is a two kingdom and two loves. You love one and you hate the other, and you are devoted to one and you despise the other, and you cannot have two masters. Jesus makes it very clear. Can I make it clear? Because maybe you grew up listening to messages that you could have both. It's not that clear. It's always gray area. No, it's not that. Not according to the scripture that I read, according to Jesus. Okay? You love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Let me continue. For all that is in this world, desires of the flesh, desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's not from the Father. Then where is it from then? It's from the world. And who is reigning the world? Spirit of darkness. Or Bible makes it very explicit. Satan. Satan. Okay? I want to make it clear today. One is the Spirit of God, and or the other one is the spirit of this age, or darkness, or spirit of Satan. You're in bondage, in slavery to Satan. Okay, that's what the scripture teaches. Okay, and these things, all these things in the world, is not from the Father, but it is from the world, right? And the last verse, which I think it is the most important basis of Christianity, okay? And it says, the world along with this desire is passing away. Okay, it'll be done. 2017 will never come back. You understand that, right? No matter how much you try, 2017 will never come back. It's passing away. And in the same nuance, Bible is saying the world and the passion or desires for this world is passing away. But whoever does the will of God will live forever. Will live forever. Okay? That's the message for today. And you know, what I was thinking was, whenever we mention things like that, do not love the world, and people say, okay, I hear you, I gotta give up, buy expensive cars. No, it's not that at all. It's much deeper than that. You know what the key word is? Desire, right here. Desire. Or different translation uses the word lust. Or different translation uses the word passion. Same word. Desire, lust, and passion. You all have it, and I have it, and God has it. It's one word in Greek, epithumia, okay? One word, same meaning, desire, passion, and what was the other one? Desire, passion, lust. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of your life. God has lust for holiness, pride and desire for holiness, right? Passion for holiness. Yeah. Can I just ask you, what is the desire? What is the desire? Desire is not something up here, right? Something right in here, right in here. We all have it. And I thought, probably the best description of it is the cry or the longing, incessant, unstoppable longing and cry of your heart. That's what desire is. It's powerful. It's powerful, brothers and sisters. It's not going to stop until it is satisfied. Did you know that? We have a heart that sucks up like vacuum cleaner, right? And it'll never stop until it is full and satisfied. That's why, right? John Calvin said, our heart is like idol factories. We long for things to love and worship. That's what we try to create. Can I give you an example? That's why you want things, expensive things, and many expensive things. During the retreat, we talked about Louis Vuitton a lot, so I'm not going to use that as an example. Bad example, okay? People love expensive stuff. Not just one, but every color. Well, how do you explain that? It's that longing of your heart to be satisfied, cry of the heart that is satisfied, and you can't do anything about it. You know why? Because it is uncontrollable desire in you. That's what it is. Okay? And the other flip side of Christian desire is desire of the Spirit. You have Spirit in you. Right? Spirit has desires. Desires of the Spirit. That's why we're going to look at it in Romans and Galatians. If you follow and obey the desires of Spirit, your heart and your life will be changed. If you don't, you become more and more like the world, junkie, right? And that leads to destruction. And the bottom line is this: two different world, two different domain, two different love, two different worship, and you will end up where you worship, who you worship. That's what the scripture teaches, okay? So let me show you just a few verses. 2 Corinthians, I love this verse. If you could just look at this. It's so encouraging if you look at this. For we walk, we live in the flesh. We're still in flesh, right? We live in flesh, but we do not fight according to the flesh. We have something greater. He's talking about Christians. And the weapon for our warfare Do you notice he used the word warfare? Your desire, your fight for your desire is a warfare, and the weapon that we have are not of the flesh, but of a divine power. Sounds like the Holy Spirit to me. Divine power that destroys strongholds. You long to be loved. We all do. That's why you want expensive stuff, so that you'll be more attractive and you feel more worthy. You work out like a maniac for your health? No. Just check your heart. You count calories for your health? No. It's the lust and passion and desire of the longing and the cry of your heart that cannot be satisfied until only person who could satisfy. That's just the way it is. We're human beings. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, God has set eternity in your heart. In other words, the capacity of your heart is infinite. And only thing, it should be say thing, only person who could fill that eternal capacity heart is the eternal God. Does that make sense? 10 Louis Vuitton will not cut it. Right? Muscle without no fat content like me, right? Not gonna work. You're not gonna be satisfied. I've given that up in college years. Do you understand that? That's human being. We are not flesh. We're not just body and flesh. We are souls, the cries of my heart. We cry for much greater thing than bags and cars and toys. Although those are good things, useful things, but when you begin to get greedy, right? It just ruins and just corrupts your heart. Corrupts your heart, okay? So we have a divine power to destroy strongholds, and we destroy arguments or every lofty opinions, any ideology, any worldviews that is not of God. Just think about what's happening in America right now, right? Ideology and teaching about families being mutilated right now. A man and woman marry, and we procreate, and we share the image of God and the glory of God. Family structure has been completely, completely attacked, right? Sexual perversions. One of the main things we'll see, if you follow your flesh and the world and not the Spirit of God, one of the key things, and I think they go hand in hand, is sexual perversion and the lust of your eyes. You want things that pleases your eyes. Good body, good clothes, right? So we destroy with this divine power, spirit, and we destroy arguments and every lofty opinions and against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. That's the key. That's the outcome. When you follow the Spirit, you obey. If you don't, you disobey. Do you understand? That's simple as that. Simple as that. Okay? I think this is as clear as a day and light, right? Look at this, Colossians 1:13. Right after this is about Jesus, the Christology, right? He is the image of the invisible God. It talks about the greatness of Christ, the divinity of Christ. But right before that, he referred to Jesus. He has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his Son. Can I just pause here for a second? And I'm not going to ask you. Kingdom of darkness, kingdom of sun, of the sun, right? Kingdom of Satan, spirit and the desire, passion, lust of Satan, or kingdom and desire, passion, and lust for the glory of God. It's very simple, isn't it? And Jesus came Last week we celebrated Christmas. Why? To transfer us, deliver us, and transfer us. And we call that redemption. It's a slavery word. Redemption is a slavery word right here. In Him, in whom we have redemption for the forgiveness of sins. And I just ask you, we are all born as slaves to sin. If you don't know Christ, if the Spirit of God is not reigning in your heart, you are a slave. Oh, man. Could you? You're a slave to sin. Slave. Slavery is dehumanizing. Slavery is something that you cannot escape by yourself. It's an impossibility. You can't do it. But you're all born as slaves to sin. That's why you cannot help but to go to workout place 7 days a week like a slave. I don't think that's about health. I don't think so. That to me, I know I'm stepping on people's toe here. And I already talked to the people who did do that. That's more like obsession and lust to me. Right? You think about it. You're a slave to these kind of stuff. Right? So, very clear. He delivered us. Christ delivered us from the kingdom of darkness, the world, to the kingdom of Jesus. And Bible is about that. Christianity is about that. People think it is about doing good things, having a nice family, having no problems, being protected. All of those are good things, but this is what it is. Okay? I want to go a little further. Can I just... These are the things I already explained, but I'm going to explain it again. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. According to the flesh, set your mind on things of the flesh. Okay? But those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on things of the Spirit. Very just ridiculously simple and redundant, right? You set your mind on flesh, and you think about that. You set your mind on things of God, and you think about that, right? What's the outcome? For those set the mind on the flesh is death. But to set their mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Can I just tell you? You know why you cannot love God? Because you can't. I want to just pause. You cannot love God because you can't. The only way we could love God is when God pours His grace upon our heart so that we could love Him. Okay? So you know, we talked about this in Romans chapter 9. Oh, then why is He, you know, blaming us? Who could resist the will of God? And the answer is God desires passion and lust for your salvation. God desires your salvation. And my question is, how about you? Do you desire that? Do you desire that? If not, who is hardening your heart? Is God hardening your heart? Or is it you hardening your heart? God desires. That's His deep, deep passion. God could have just started all over, right? Theology, theoretically. God could have just started all over. He didn't have to come. He didn't have to come, especially as a, you know, as a baby, helpless baby, and go through what we went through, dead like an animal on the cross, just for you to live. And you're saying that we need to blame God. It does not make sense, nor it's going to work. It's not going to work, my brothers and sisters. You know why we can't love God? Because you can't. Do you want to love God? Ask. You will find Him. Seek, you will find Him. Ask. It'll be given to you. Do you understand that? Do you know why we don't have love for God? Because we resist and harden our hearts. You live in America, and you come to New Heart, you listen to Christ's message, I pray to God that I'm preaching the gospel. And every single Sunday, every single Sunday. Right? To set your mind on flesh, if you live for the world, you will die and die eternally. I already shared. But to set your mind on the Spirit, and you, it's life and peace. The mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law, and indeed it cannot. For those who are in the flesh cannot please God. I just want to take a moment and explain this thing right here, three things, okay? Especially this last day of the year. For those, all that is in the world, three things: desires of the flesh, desires of the eyes, and the pride of life. If you look at ESV, I think it might be lust of your flesh. Same word, right? Epithumia. Lust or desire of your flesh, lust of your eyes. Eyes are very important. And pride of life. Can we talk about that a little bit? What is the lust of the flesh? It's what your flesh desire. Things. More things. Expensive things. And many expensive things. You know, it gets worse as you get older. I mean, some people have a naturally have that kind of greedy desire. But as you get older, can you imagine if your heart is controlled by the Spirit, 20 years later, it'll be much less sinful. If your heart is controlled by the world and you do only things that you want to do, in 20 years later, it's going to be exacerbated. It's just going to be uncontrollable. Do you understand? Things of the flesh, right? How about, I just want to spend more time with desires of the eyes. I think this is pretty important thing. You know how important the eyes are? Okay? Jesus put it this way. Okay? Here it is. The eye is the lamp of your life. Eye is the lamp of your life. If your eye is healthy, your whole life will be full of light. Okay? If your eye is bad, unhealthy, your whole life will be in darkness. Okay? What you see and what you lust after will really determine your life. Basically, think about it. What you see, what you lust after. Think about it. Jesus is teaching, if your eyes are healthy, your whole body, your life will be full of light. You will have light. You will have love and joy for others. You know why it is always dark? Because of your eyes. You know, I cannot help but to mention a few things. We are living in a very technologically challenging time right now. And what I mean by that is, we have something called iPad and smartphones. What do you look at when you open it? What do you look at? I don't know, I'm just asking you. Okay? We lust. The more you look at these things, and you lust more. Right? Lust of the eyes. And this is a weapon, I think, the means the enemy is using, capturing not only the younger generation, even the older generation. So many mothers are hooked on phones and iPad. People stay up with this thing until the morning. I'm mentioning this because on this last day of the year, I just pray that the Spirit of God will speak to you. You don't want to just keep going and continue to bring darkness into your soul. You don't want to do that. I just want to give you a couple of examples. What are some examples of lust of the eyes? I thought about, okay, I thought about body figures, weights. We Americans are obsessive about these things. Koreans are worse. If you go to Korea, they don't have my size. Okay? Seriously. You know, they go to Shijang, right? And tell older ladies, oh, I'm sorry, we don't have your size. you're just, you know, beyond our size. People go crazy. Plastic surgeries. Right? It's about covetousness. It's just destroying your heart. Covetousness. Can I just also tell you? Some accessories, cars and clothings, jewelries and bags and scarves, watches. These lust of the eyes. Whatever you see. But the Bible is saying something very clear. Whatever you see, it'll pass away. It'll pass away. Only those who set their minds on eternal things will live forever. I just want to remind you, this young generation, I understand. You know, we are very, I think, generous toward ourselves about these things. We tend to be very, very generous about these things. Oh, it's all right. Little bit, yeah, it's okay. Absolutely. I think there are clearly two kingdoms, but even the redeemed, even the Christians, we have a sinful nature, so we get temptation. I understand that. That's why I am sharing this message. When you are tempted, now, what makes a Christian different than non-Christian is you will have desire to repent and go back. That's what I'm trying to tell you. If you don't have that, that's very, very worrisome. Okay? Because the Spirit of God will continue to tell you, no, 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 no. That's going to destroy your life. You continue to go that direction, your heart will be corrupted. You'll be just like the rest of the world. Instead of just cleansing and purity and thankfulness, your incessant desire of your heart, even with the most expensive bag, you're not going to be satisfied. Right? Even with the most expensive phone, you're not going to be satisfied. Okay. And thirdly, the pride of this life. What makes you feel like you're a worthy person in this world? Okay, I ask this question because I think American dream kind of makes it very clear. And I thought about Korean American dream. It's like a hyper-American dream. Do you know what I'm talking about? American dream says a nice job, a nice family, and a couple of cars in a garage. But the Korean-American dream is nice car and a nice house will not cut it. It has to be BMW and Mercedes. And it has to be a house with a great school district. Am I not? Isn't that what you heard all these years? American dream, right? And Korean American dream is hyped up American dream. If you continue to lust after that, it'll destroy your life. Before this year ends, you need to turn and you need to repent. I need to repent. Can I share this in my small group during the retreat? We had a great retreat, by the way. Share with my small group, I have cravings. I do. Constantly get cravings, this or that craving. Some people say, are you pregnant? No, I'm not pregnant, yeah. What I mean is, I get craving for food, I get craving for things, I do. And I have to fight it and repent. Otherwise, it's just going to get worse. Do you have cravings? Do you have lust? Covetousness. Lust of the eyes. It's very important. You know why it is important? If it is healthy, your life will be healthy. If it is rotten, unhealthy, everything is darkness. Right? If you notice, this is surrounded by two very, very important passages from Jesus. Right before this, where your treasure is, your heart will be also, You will continue to lust after things. That's where your heart is all the time. Okay? And then it goes with this conclusion. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. God and money. Brothers and sisters, would you make up your mind before this year ends? Are you going to follow Christ, or are you going to follow the world? One leads to destruction, and one leads to life. And there is no, it's not unclear, it's clear. Okay? And God desires you to follow him. Okay? Can we just bow?